that you use for your alarm. I do. I mean, that's all I ever use is my alarm. You can take your smartphone and set your alarm for 10:38 a.m. and p.m. because I don't know about you. I'm always up at 10:38 p.m. and a.m. You can set your alarm for 10:38, and you're going to be reminded about this teaching every time that alarm goes off. 10:38. If you read the Facebook thing that Christina put out yesterday about my teaching, the title of it is, I am with you. I am with you. 10:38. Going someplace with that in a minute. I am with you, 10:38. How many of you like that Facebook thing that she puts out? That's pretty cool. Every day got this nice little meme, you know, this little picture. I don't know what meme means, but it sounds good. It makes me sound like I'm with you. But it's always like a good little thing there and kind of encourages you and share it with your friends. And, you know, there'll be invitations to come to church, right? Amen. Come on. 10:38. Now let's turn to Acts 10:38. You wonder where we're going with that 10:38 thing, right? 10:38. Acts 10:38. Awesome scripture. We're going to be talking about I am with you. First of all, we're going to talk about how something about Jesus here. Acts 10:38. Anybody need more time finding it? Good? Okay. This is Peter. Peter is talking right now. I'm not going to go through the whole history here, but Peter, the Apostle Peter, right? He is preaching to Cornelius' household. Now, Cornelius, okay, you can read that story yourself later on. It's a great story about Cornelius. And he starts speaking to his household, and some amazing things happen. But he started to talk about Jesus. What made Jesus special? What made him special? Well, we can talk about a lot of things that made Jesus special. But in particular, in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Underline, God was with him. God was with him. This is an amazing thing that we have to recognize about Jesus. We know that Jesus was completely human and completely God at the same time, right? Totally. God anointed him. The first part in verse 38 where he says, God anointed Jesus. That word anointing comes from the word that means to smear all over. You know, if you got dry skin from head to toe, you're going to rub the lotion on all over, right? Smeared, anointed. That's what anointed means. When back in the day, when the priests were anointed, they'd pour that oil on his head and it'd go all over his body. He was smeared all over. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit like that. When the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus, he was covered completely. It's pretty special, isn't it? He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Second point. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. This is the gift that's given to all believers. The gift of the Holy Spirit. He is available to everyone who believes. Amen? Everyone. Everyone. Here's another part. And with power. He's building here. He's anointed with the Holy Spirit, and with power. And that word power is that Greek word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. This is explosive power. This is real power. Power that changes things. Power that can move mountains. Power that can raise the dead and heal the sick. Heal blind eyes. This is power. This is power that sets people free from the clutches of the enemy. This is the kind of power that comes with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. My ears ring. I'm trying to hear it. Or maybe it isn't. This word power is not the same word as authority. But authority and power go hand in hand. And we do have both of those things in Christ. Amen. Then the next point, fourth point, is doing good. Not only did Jesus get anointed, with the power of the Holy Spirit. But he went around doing what? Good. Did he ever do anything bad? And he had a lot of critics. He went around doing good. What do you think happens to you when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you? What are you going to do? You're going to go around doing good. Hallelujah. Amen? Go around doing good. Always. And then, and healing. Went around doing good and healing all. All. I love that. All. He didn't just heal a chosen few. He healed all who were oppressed by the devil. Oh, yeah, well, that's back in that day. There were demons around back then, but there's no demons around now, right? That was back then. You know, we had those powerful gifts back then. We don't have them now. We don't need them now because we got the Word. No. The oppression of the devil is just as real today as it was thousands of years ago. He is just as real today as it was thousands of years ago. He healed all who were oppressed by the devil. And then the last point of this scripture. For God was with him. And we're going to build on that. For God was with him. So make sure that's underlined. Everybody's written down 10:38 a bunch of times, right? Set your alarm for 10:38. So twice a day, God can remind you through your smartphone that he's with you. Come on. That's a great tool to use electronics for. Twice a day, he can remind you that. Make sure you have that written down. So throughout the scripture, we're going to go and look at a couple of examples about this phrase, for God is with us. It's wonderful. It's wonderful when God is with us. We're going to look at a couple of things here that's going to kind of change our focus. Listen, when you know Jesus Christ, when he's with us, you get peace, right? You get hope. You get restored. You get all these wonderful things when you know God is with us. This morning when we were worshiping God, the presence of the Lord was here in might and in power, in peace and in hope. You get built up. Amen. All those wonderful things. However, there's more to this. There's more to this. We're going to talk about the more right now. Whenever Father God said that he would be with someone, it meant that they had been given a mission that was humanly impossible to accomplish. Oh, I like the peace when God's with me. But a great part of that phrase is that all of a sudden, when he says to you, God is with you, some of us are going, oh no, he's given me a mission that I cannot accomplish in my own strength. He's given me a mission that's impossible to do with me alone, right? Let's look at a couple of those examples. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. How many of you are tired of doing it on your own? How many people are tired of what you accomplish when you do it on your own? Here's what he said to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verses 9. Start in verse 9. Exodus 3, verse 9. Now, you know, the story of Moses, you know, you can read that yourself. He was on the backside of the desert, herding sheep. And God came to him in the burning bush. And he says, what verse I say? 9. Okay. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you. I like the word therefore. That just kind of connects here. Come. Because of that, come. The cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Because he's thinking, gee, what's in my bank account? Right? What education do I have? What kind of leader am I? All the questions that you and I would ask, right?
I don't have enough money to lead millions of people. They don't know me. I'm an unknown. So Moses is a very human question. Who am I? None of us have ever said that here. This is for over there in Egypt. It doesn't happen in New Jersey. And he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he, capital he, said, I will certainly be with you. Uh-oh. I will be with you. I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. We're going to stop right there. I will certainly be with you. Moses was given an impossible task. An impossible task was set before him. Lead these millions of people out of Egypt. People who had never been led before. Think about that. Might as well be talking about a whole bunch of Americans. People who have never been led before. Millions of people. You know the phrase like herding cats? Right? Like herding cats. The military phrase also, like raking water. You know, there's a whole lot of people that I'm calling you to lead that have never followed anyone before. Interesting. But God promised Moses that he would display his power to deliver. And we know that that's what happened, right? We know the story. True story of the miracles and the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. Wow. The manna that came from heaven, the quail, the provision, the water that gushed out of the rock. Remember? All these things happened, and that's reality. God promised Moses that he would display his power to deliver. But Moses had to do his part and to be obedient. We have to do our part and be obedient, right? I love Moses. He was a reluctant hero, right? He was reluctant to begin with. How many of us can say that I've been in that same boat as Moses, right? Reluctant. Oh, yeah, I know what God wants, but I don't know. God, you know, I know I can't do it and I can't calculate it in my calculator as to how I'm going to manage this. We're in good company because God is with you. He's with me. He's promised. Let's look at Joshua. Turn with me over to Joshua chapter 1. Just a few books over to the right. Just past Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1. Now remember Joshua. Joshua was a mighty man of God by this time. He followed Moses. He had seen the miracles. He was one of the two faithful spies. Joshua and Caleb, remember, they went into the promised land with the other 10 spies. They came back with a good report. They came back with reality. Like, yeah, there's giants in the land, but God is with us. Right? We can do this. We can take them. Because God's with us. The other 10, no, man, they're too big. They could hurt us. You know, we're not trained to fight. Oh, we should not go there. Joshua and Caleb, they were the only survivors, them and Moses, that made it all the way through. Moses got to see the promised land, but didn't get to enter. Joshua and Caleb, these two men. So here is Moses second in command. Now he's leading Israel. He's a man full of faith and courage. And here's what it says in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Whoa. Then he says, and be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Again, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. In verse 18. Only be strong and of good courage. Why? Come on, you know now. For God is with you. Be strong and of good courage. For God is with you. 10:38. God was with him. He reminded him four times. A couple more books to the right. Go with me to Judges. Judges chapter 6. Talking about Gideon now. Talk about a reluctant hero. Gideon, right? Read that story if you haven't. It's a great story. Reluctant hero. There's all kinds of oppression going on. And here in Judges chapter 6. And in I'll start in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Gideon, and said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you." Uh-oh. Oh, me, God? Uh-oh. The Lord is with you. And said to him, "You mighty man of valor." I think Gideon went, "Who, me? What?" God sees the end from the beginning, folks. God honors us. Even when we first get saved, when we've done nothing for Him, He honors us and brings His Holy Spirit to us and says, "I will be with you." And He knows the end result of your life, how great and awesome it'll be if you obey Him and follow Him and let Him anoint you and use His power. You mighty man and woman of valor. You know what Gideon must have thought at that moment in time. What have I done for you? Who am I? Another reluctant hero. And he says, Gideon said to the angel, to the angel Lord, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord said, turn to him. That's interesting. I'll have to look into that a little bit. "Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" There's no excuse for us, right? Is not God sending us? Isn't he sending us? I love this, Gideon was wanting God to take the responsibility. Gideon was pointing his finger back at God, so to speak. "It's your fault, God. It's your fault." But we can read in the scriptures how the children of Israel strayed from God, rejected God, turned to idolatry. God was there for them, but they turned and walked away from God. Wasn't God's fault. How many times do we say things like that to God? "But God, things were better in the old days. But God." God is with us. Mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of valor. God is with you. Let's jump into the New Testament now and turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We all know this scripture, don't we? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Let's look at verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And because of that, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo," here it is, "I am with you." I am with you. "Even to the end of the age." And by the way, we are in that age right now. And we are coming to the end of that age. He is with us. "I am with you." That should make you look and go, "Okay, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." To God, all things are possible to him who believes. Right? Not going to be possible because of your bank account, because of your education, because of your prowess. It's going to be because of God. God's presence with us has staggering implications. His presence provides the entrance into the impossible. These are impossible things that we're talking about. You cannot do them in your own strength. His presence on you and on me has staggering implications. Provides the entrance into the impossible. Many years ago, the Lord told me that if you can accomplish your mission without the direct intervention of my power, then you're not walking in faith. Should I say that again? If you can accomplish, and I had to write it down then, I'll read it now. If you can accomplish your mission without the direct intervention of my power, then you're not walking in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, right? Walk in faith, not by sight. Here's another corollary to that. If you're doing something for God, where if God doesn't come through, you're sunk, then you're not working for God. You're not doing a great thing for God. If what you think you're doing for God, that if he doesn't come through for you and for the mission that he's called you to do, that you're sunk, like tilt, then you're not doing it for God. Let that sink in a little bit, okay? Yeah, we have to do everyday things that, you know, that God has given us instruction to do or we know to do. I mean, you know, you don't have to be ignorant about those things. But God's going to call you to do some things that are impossible, right? He might not call you to do those things every single day of your life, but there's going to come a time, if it hasn't already, where God's going to call you to do something, like lay hands on a sick person or give something that goes above and beyond what you can afford. Amen? Are you hearing me? Are you encouraged or are you ready to throw something at me? Hallelujah. I might throw it back. These are serious words from God. Serious words from God. He's calling us to step out in this. For I am with you. Uh-oh. I am with you. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 1. Start in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, then you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That is a mouthful. There's a month's worth of teachings right there. But I read that to say, this is our inheritance to walk in the presence where he is with you. This is our inheritance. Do not live below your inheritance, folks. Your inheritance is the power of God, the manifestation, his wisdom. That's our inheritance. Don't live below that. Can I hear an amen? Or an oh my? Because when you're not living up to your inheritance, you're not going to accomplish the things that God is calling you to do. Because when God is revealed to be with us, something is expected from us. Right? When God is revealed in us, something is expected from us. Come on, parents, you're teaching your children as they grow. And you're teaching them to do certain things in their life. You expect them to prosper. You expect them to succeed. Expect them. You expect them. That's a righteous expectation. That's fine. That's good. That's not a bad expectation. God has revealed himself to us. He has an expectation that we will mature in him, that we'll grow in him, in knowledge, in understanding, our eyes being enlightened so that we know what the hope of his calling is. And I sincerely hope, that you understand the hope of your calling more now than you did last week or last year or the year before or when you got saved. The hope of his calling, it's so rich. We heard this morning, you can't even describe with your mouth adequately how great God is. We get all eternity to practice. He expects, what does He expect from me and you? What does He expect from our church? What does He expect? Mark 16 is another view of the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, right at the very end. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. Mark 16. He says, go into the world, all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Selah. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These are the things. And then the last verse, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So why would we retreat? Why would we go back on that? You know, the Lord told me recently, and I got this word when I was putting this together. See, the enemy has sown a seed. Has sown a seed in the church. And I'm going to put it out there. And I don't want anybody to go, oh me or oh my. Because I think a lot of us have heard this. You know, the enemy, what does he do? How does he attack us most? In our thoughts, right? Those fiery darts from his mouth, from his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, will throw a thought on you. And you'll entertain that thought. And a lot of times that thought will agree with your circumstances. I'm just putting that out there. Okay. Because, you know, you might be tired and the enemy will throw a thought on you. Come on. All right, so don't. I'm not speaking this word to anybody in particular. I'm just saying it's coming at the church, not just our church. Here's a seed. I call it the pullback seed. The pullback seed. It's a seed to pull back. Retreat a little bit. Do a little less. You're old. You're tired. You're hurting. You've done it a long time. Come on. The pullback seed. That's a seed. That's not from God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take a rest now and then. That's fine. You know, there is a Sabbath God talks about. There's time to take time off. But not that you would pull back for good. I'm not ever doing that again. Or I'm just backing up, man. I just can't do this anymore. Right? God says, push ahead a little more. Press in a little bit more. A little bit more. This is our calling, folks. This is our calling. It's what He called us to do. Let's circle back. What made it possible for Jesus to do the impossible? What made it possible for Jesus to do the impossible? God was with him. Is it because he was God? No. He was God, but it wasn't because he was God. It was possible for him to do the impossible because God was with him. He was anointed. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Come on, enthusiasm helps me. You know, I need a little bit because my ears are a little bit clogged up, you know. I might not have heard that little song. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Are you a child of God?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Now I know I got through and all the eyes were open. Yes. Is God with you? Uh-oh, he asked that question. Is God with you? Yes. A little louder.
Yes.
So you're a child of God, and God is with you. Sounds to me like you're in the God class, not that you'll ever be God. You know what I mean? You understand that's not, I'm not saying that by pride. You're a child of God, so you are of His family. And you're anointed with the Holy Spirit. God is with you. Uh-oh, to the enemy. When you recognize that, to his kingdom. Just like with Moses and Joshua and Gideon and all the disciples, it was the same with Jesus. He was God, He was fully man and fully God. And God is with, and when God is with man, the impossible happens. Amen? Knowing this truth will open up our eyes to our mission, one that must expect God to bring His miraculous power into the mission that God has called us to do. Luke 4:18, Jesus boldly proclaimed this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Right? We love that scripture. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We can say that. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He anointed me to preach and heal, proclaim liberty and recovery of sight, and then bring liberty, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I like that. It said, and you can look that up later, but first He proclaims it, and then He brings it. I love that separation in there. It just gives it some more clarity, some more emphasis. He proclaimed liberty, and then He brought liberty. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? Because God is with us. He is with us. 10:38. Somebody needs to set that in their cell phone. I'm telling you, we need these reminders. 10:38. Tomorrow morning, 10:38, when it goes off. God is with me. Uh-oh. Get ready. Hold on. You know, when you're doing stuff for God, you're not going to get bored. You won't get bored. You know, "Oh, I'm bored." When you're doing things for God, you won't get bored. Exciting things take place. Sometimes things you won't want to do. Moses did not, he wasn't going, "Yahoo! I get to lead millions of people who don't like to follow anybody, who will stone you at the moment that you do something wrong," right? "And I'll have my brother and my sister come against me too," right? All these great things. Yay, I can't wait. You know, I think that there's a second book of Acts being written in heaven right now. And our names are in it. What's God going to write about your life? What's He going to write about you? What you did for Him. And the impossible exploits that you did because He was with you. And you knew He was with you. And you obeyed Him. And did what He called you to do. These great things. These are the expectations I have as a pastor of y'all. I have expectations to hear about the great mighty things God's doing in your life. I have expectations, don't we, pastors? Don't we have that expectation? We don't get up here every week and flap our lips because of the high pay. Come on. God has an expectation for me. And I have to be faithful to that. He has an expectation of you. Therefore, I have an expectation of you. What are you going to tell next Sunday about the great things God did this week? What are you going to say about, "I laid hands on somebody, I didn't even know them, and they got healed"? Or, "I led a friend to Jesus this week. I stood up in school and said, 'No, God is alive.'" Come on. These are great things God's calling us to do. Because God is with you. Let's stand up and we're going to pray. This is our